Good evening. I promise I'm not trying to pick on vacations today, but I'll be talking about another form of vacation that we like to take. We know vacations, once again, are a wonderful blessing. Of course, it's a time for us to rest, and we need it, especially when you work 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, months and months on end. It's exhausting. And it's nice to be able to go a week and be able to sleep in, be able to eat what you want and just relax. But as we talked about this morning, we know that our faith doesn't take a vacation. We as Christians don't take vacations from our faith. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." And so we see here, even Christ told his disciples, come and rest, take a break. Because Christ, we see in some occasions, he took naps. There were times that he would go away to spend time with his Father in prayer. And so we see that necessity for rest. But there is something we must never forget. Our faith does not take a vacation. Too many people live as if Christianity is something they can pause. They are faithful at home, but they are careless when away. A faithful Christian belongs to Christ everywhere. Just because you're away from your home congregation doesn't mean nobody's watching. It doesn't mean you can do as you please. We must always be looking to remain faithful. And so faith doesn't take a vacation from worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, be reading from the LSB. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we see here the Hebrew writer connects faithfulness with assembly. This means worship is not optional. It is not something we do only when something else isn't scheduled. The Lord still matters, even on vacation. I know brothers and sisters who go on vacation, and while they're on vacation, they find a faithful congregation to worship with. And that's a great idea. That's a great thing. Meeting other brothers and sisters in Christ in another state, maybe even in another country. The young boys that we have, their parents worship with a faithful congregation in Paris, which I think is amazing. They sent pictures of the building where they gathered. It's an old building. But even on vacation, the Lord still matters. We know the disciples came together on the first day of the week. Now, of course, they didn't have buildings like we do today. They would meet in their homes together, worshiping God, having the Lord's Supper, having fellowship, hearing the scriptures, being read. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began speaking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. And so we see here the breaking of bread, which would have been Lord's Supper, and they would have heard, Paul would have preached a message to them. But that was their practice. That was their commitment. That's what the early church was committed to. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful process. As we worshiped here Sunday morning, we're here together once again on Sunday evening. We're together having fellowship, worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing. And yes, you may be dog tired, but I'll tell you, when you leave here, you feel rejuvenated. You feel wonderful spiritually. You're fed. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so once again, as we mentioned this morning, every day, everywhere we go, we are to keep the kingdom first. We are to seek it first above all things. God comes first. And so faith doesn't take vacation from holiness. The Christian cannot take a vacation from holiness. Why? Because we know that sin separates us from God. That's what happens. And when we, quote unquote, are on a vacation and we take a break from Bible study, take a break from prayer, which we shouldn't, sin is knocking at the door. When we open that door, sin will engulf us. It will take over. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, as obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your conduct. Once again, notice that phrase, in all your conduct. Sometimes, and I would even say a lot of times, people act differently when they are away from home. I have done that myself in my younger days. When I would leave the home, I would act differently. But when I'm home, there's the old Colton, there's the old me. People leave their home congregations and they go off on vacation and they're a different person. And it doesn't even have to be on vacation. There are people who put on a holy mask when here, when they leave, they put on the worldly mask. It's important that we are always looking to live a holy life in all of our conduct. They think, and this is what they think, nobody knows me here. Well, we need to remember there is one who will know us and remember us. That's God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are uncovered and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we have an account to give. What is this text? What's the Hebrew writer saying? We can't hide. We may be able to hide from others. We may be able to hide our sin from others. Not God. God knows all things. God knows our hearts. He knows how many hairs are numbered on our heads if we have hair. Knows everything. We cannot hide a thing. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Joseph, there was an opportunity, an evil opportunity, let me add that. Potiphar's wife would come to him, lie with me. Joseph, knowing I may be able to get away with this from other people, hide it, but God, he knows. And guess what? I'm not going to sin against my creator. I'm not going to sin against my master. We know Joseph's story. Joseph remains, he runs for his life. And of course, that would help him down the line, because he would eventually become the second most powerful man in Egypt. We may be away from our home congregation, but we're never away from God. Joseph's faith did not take a vacation in Egypt. And so, faith doesn't take a vacation from prayer. As we see Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, once again, this doesn't mean that we are to pray every second of the day. Of course not. But the early church, and these different regions, took prayer seriously. It was their lifeline. They counted on it. They couldn't wait to communicate with their father. The early church, they, once again, this is one thing of that list that they took seriously, was prayer. But what it does mean is that prayer is a constant part of the Christian life. It's our spiritual breathing, if you want to put it that way. We even see Daniel. He prayed even when it was dangerous. And Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the written document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. There was a decree that went out that was signed. They were not to worship, they were not to pray to Yahweh, their God. But Daniel, of course, would defy the decree and would pray. His prayer life was not controlled by convenience. It was controlled by commitment. Now, does this mean that we need to pray three times a day and stay at three times a day? No. There are times that I'm sure you've done it. I have. While I'm driving, I'll pray. I won't close my eyes, but pray. There are times that I'll go away in a quiet place and just pray. It's not just before we eat or before we go to sleep. Pray as much as you can. When you feel urges to fall into temptation, go and pray. Jesus often withdrew to pray. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, but he himself would often slip away to the desolate regions and pray. Daniel took it seriously. Jesus himself took it seriously. How much more do we need to pray if Jesus prayed? A lot, probably, most likely a lot more. Faith doesn't take a vacation from Bible studies. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. God's word was important to David. As we know with kings, kings would have to have copies of the law of Moses with them. That's how important it was. Now, even though David wasn't perfect, David would mess up, but at the same time, he understood the importance. He would be restored because he would have repented. He understood, if I neglect the word, I become spiritually weaker. And we do. When we spend time away from his word, from prayer, spiritually, we are weaker. There are weak points. There are holes in the armor that Satan can find his way through. And before you know it, you've sinned. You have fallen away. You've been separated from God. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We shouldn't go a whole week without physical food and think our body would be fine. Now, of course, I could probably go 2 weeks and look a lot better. But we wouldn't. We make sure our bellies are full. We make sure that we have enough food. We even make sure we have enough water that we don't become dehydrated. Why do we think we can go a week without spiritual food and be strong? You won't. You'll be malnourished spiritually. The Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The Bereans, they took it with eagerness. They searched the scriptures daily, making sure that what the apostles were saying were true. They searched the scriptures daily. Now, I tell people, this doesn't look exactly the same with us today. Of course, you know, there times do get busy. But we can always find time to spend in God's Word. I tell people, if you wanted to spend an hour, you can split that up however you want. 10-minute sessions, 20-minute sessions, 5-minute sessions, 2 hours, the same way. We can always find time to spend time in Scripture. Even on vacation. Faith does not take vacation away from influence. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are always an influence wherever we go. And our light should always shine everywhere. People should be able to look at us and say, you're a Christian. I see the things that you do. You know, it's not just teaching people the gospel that can influence them, but also living it out in our own lives can influence people. And if we're trying to preach the gospel, but we're not living it, you're not going to do much. You're going to push people away. As Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about your circumstances, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, contending together for the faith of the gospel. The word only here gives weight to this command. Whatever else happens, live worthy of the gospel. Our influence matters so much. I have seen over and over, especially on social media can be used for good things, great things. But what happens a lot of times, even for Christians, we find ourselves posting things that are not appropriate, posting things that show us as a hypocrite. But not only that, when we are outside doing things or participating in things we shouldn't, we lose that influence. People are watching. Not just children. Children are very observant. Absolutely. I have an 11-year-old with me, and he's very observant. And he's sneaky, too, by the way. He'll disappear. But not just children, but other adults watch. I like the people watch. I don't know about you. I'll sit and observe people. It's just, I don't know, it's a comforting thing. But someone is always watching. And if you're doing exactly what you need to do, and not just here, but on vacation, you never know who you can change. And it's so important. And so in order for us to really influence someone, we must know how we are to live. And that is, how do we find that out? In the Word of God. And then we need to pray for God to help us change a life. We need to pray for God's guidance through His Word. Prayer is so important. Once again, as Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, and that includes the Word of God, and that includes communication. Once again, if a soldier's out in the battlefield and he loses his weapon and he cannot communicate with command, it's over. They're not going to survive the battle. It's so important. And so, yes, I'm not trying to pick on vacation. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to relax, but not from our faith. I think it's important when we do go on vacation, find a faithful congregation to worship with. Find brothers and sisters in Christ to go and worship with. Remember God always, every day on your vacation, watching how you walk, because you never know who you will influence. And so this evening, if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, who belongs to the world, I pray and hope that tonight you choose to give your life to Christ. Don't waste this opportunity. And like I say all the time, you walk out that door in sin and you die, there's nothing more we can do for you. Give your life to Christ this evening. And this is how you do it. You must hear the word and believe the word. But then you must repent of your sins, which means change. The thing about you is going to change. The gospel transforms lives. We must be willing to accept that change and to turn back to God, to put away our old self, our old sinful self. But then we are to confess our faith in Christ Jesus as the Son of God. It's so important. All Christians that we see throughout the book of Acts made the great confession. But then we must be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. When we are baptized, we are buried with Christ into His death. Our old life, our old self, sinful self is put to death, and blood of Christ washes over us, washing us white as snow. And when we raise out of the water as Christ was raised from the grave, we are now walking in newness of life. We are now new. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, and that means you take no vacations from your faith, from Christ. Or if you were a Christian, you're struggling with a sin or sins, and you need help, come forward. Allow us as the church to help you, to assist you. Come and repent and be restored to the church. We're all here together as brothers and sisters of Christ, and we're here to encourage one another, to build one another up. And so if you need any assistance this evening, come while we stand and while we sing.